Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and good morning. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Castle Lombardi restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcast on iTunes.
Good morning there, Mark.
Hey, Franco.
How are you feeling this morning?
I'm good.
I had dinner just recently at a place called Telepan.
Yeah, you told me you were going with some good friends of ours.
Yeah, I went with Barbara and David, who own a home restaurant in Manhattan, and also Shin Vineyard on Long Island. By the way, Shin Vineyard,
S-H-I-N-N. I just want to point out that, yeah, I stayed at the restaurants and worked. Hope you enjoyed yourself. Did you have a good time?
You have four kids and a wife.
I have four kids and a wife, so you go out to dinner and I stay at work.
That's exactly how
it should be. How unfair is that?
I want you barefoot in the office and working. Yeah, no, so we all get our nights off. But I went out with Barbara and David. They own Shin Vineyards on Long Island. By the way, Shin Vineyards, the wines are kicking butt.
They're awesome.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, but we met for dinner in Manhattan. We met our friend Dale DeGroff, who's the most famous bartender in the world and a dear friend. And we just ate dinner and laughed and had a great time. But
isn't that what going out for dinner is all about?
But where we went to Telepan. Telepan is on the Upper West Side, a neighborhood in which I don't often find myself. Mm-hmm. It's on 69th Street between Central Park West and Columbus. And it's a nice space. It's a very comfortable space. And we had a lovely dinner. And actually Bill came over to the table and said hello. And it was
Bill Telepan.
Yeah, Bill Telepan came over and said hello. Now, what was interesting, though, is, and exciting news, we're scooping the New York Times, because on Wednesday, that will be the review in the dining section of the Times. So
look at you go.
There is a chef who, he came out and he talked to us. He said, Wednesday's the day, because the Times is the one that matters in New York.
And it's certainly the most important one,
and,
for sure.
You know, the jig is up. The fix is in. It is what it is. And he said, how you feel? He's like, I'm relaxed. I know it's done.
Right,
I'm
it's not over. There's nothing I can do to change it now.
So we'll see what happens to him on Wednesday. We wish him well. I think he's trying for 2 or 3 stars and a positive review. And I think he'll do just fine in that spot. The meal was lovely. I thought something that was really interesting, though, that we were talking about at the table. Adam Platt, who reviews for New York Magazine.
New York, right.
Had written something dismissive about one of the dishes I had. This lovely dish, it was a head of the wood mushroom. Which is a very big, large mushroom. It's a very texturally interesting mushroom. And it had like a soft poached egg and some bitter greens. And it was a lovely dish. I really enjoyed it.
I have to tell you.
Yeah.
I love soft poached eggs. I'm sorry. Anyway.
It was great.
And I digress.
And a perfect textural counterpoint to the mushroom. But you know what he said, Platt, the reviewer? He said something about, and a hen of the wood mushroom. Like, he was dismissive of it. Like, you know, been there, done that. All the chefs, yeah, hen of the wood mushroom is ubiquitous. I think he called it ubiquitous. But if he didn't, it was something like that. And I thought to myself, what's the problem? And the other thing he's written about in the past is he talks about how he's done with the whole, doesn't want to see the farm's names on all the restaurant menus anymore. Why do I have to clutter up the menu with all the farm names? I'm so over that. Listen, doofus, it's not a stylistic
thing. Did you not
thing.
Call Adam Platt a doofus right, on our,
but,
our
but,
show?
I'm sorry, but that was a doofus thing to say. Because, and I do take that back, because I've read a bunch of his reviews, and I think they're very interesting. But the idea of putting farm's names on menus is not a fashionable thing, like, you know, pink is the in color this year. It's about changing the way that food is bought and perceived. It lets you know as a consumer that you're eating locally, that you're eating well, that your food hasn't spent a lot of fossil fuel money traveling to places, and so it hasn't had to be preserved as much, and that the chef has a relationship with a local farmer, and this is keeping the farmers on the farm.
It does a couple of other things, too. It just like you said, number one is that it makes the customer know that
something's coming directly from a farm. It lets them know where their food's coming from. And I think everybody's trying to connect with where their food's coming from. Because, you know, frankly, I think a lot of us are afraid that our food's not coming from great sources. So I think that the first person it's for is for the customer, so that they can connect to the food and understand where it's coming from. And the second place it's coming from, when a farmer works that hard to produce food, A, in a sustainable way, but B, in such a special way that a super high-end restaurant is willing to put their name on the menu, they're doing something really special. And the farmer also deserves some of that recognition.
Right. Well, and
I think that's an important thing. I mean, when I put Indyke Farms on my menu, A, I know that people are going to go are more likely to go to Indyke Farms
and pick strawberries
themselves and pick their own strawberries. But B, I also think that it's a recognition for that farmer.
Well, and how do restaurants work? I mean, how have we found out about many of the farms and places where we source product? I go to Mario Batali's restaurant and they have it on there. Anson Mills is a place that mills polenta and grits down south.
Right, mills corn.
Antebellum corn that they mill into either polenta or grits, which is a slightly different take on the same thing. And they use antebellum varieties of corn, and they use Onstone Mills, and they have very unique type of corn. Well, how did I find out about Anson Mills polenta and grits?
You shamelessly stole it from somebody else.
Hearth. Paul Greco at Hearth Restaurant. Thank you, Paul. But I went there, and I had it, and I said, this stuff is awesome.
Mm-hmm. It's special. Right.
Their preparation of it was awesome, but I also said, Anson Mills grits. And I came back to the chef, and I said, let's look this up. We went on the web, and we found this small company that makes Anson Mills grits. Now we carry Anson Mills grits. They had polenta, we have grits. I think that's how it works.
And Anson Mills deserves some of the credit there.
Well, and they also deserve to find me as a customer. And our customers, it's on our menu as well, will say, what is the grits? What is Anson Mills? How do I get it? Now, it turns out that it's actually quite difficult to source Anson Mills grits because the current grits are completely dry, or current polenta is completely dry. But the way that it used to be was that when you got grits, you would have to, they mill to order, and you have to keep it in a cool, dry place, and you have to use it in 6 months, and because it's actually perishable.
Right, it would continue to grow.
But these grits are amazing, and you need to order, like, it's a 25-pound minimum, because, you know, they got to fire up the mill, you know, so it's really hard. I mean, I ate a lot of grits, but 25 pounds is a lot of grits for an individual. But, you know, we buy a big sack of grits, and we keep it downstairs in the refrigerator, and it's just delicious. But, again, I guess what I'm trying to say is, it's not just that it's a fashionable thing to do to put farms' names on it. We need to support this. We need to keep this moving because the big corporate agribusiness is trying to supply all restaurants. It's trying to take over the food supply. And
if I can get you to go to Indyke Farms in Monroe to pick your strawberries or your tomatoes or your wax beans or whatever else they're growing, or heads of Savoy cabbage or whatever else they're growing from one season to another, well, that makes it more likely for me to be able to get the things that I need because they're going to continue to exist.
Right, exactly. They need to be here.
If Ben Konopacki decides that he doesn't want to run his uncle's farm anymore, then
Indyke Farms
then
is
it
out.
Ceases to exist and it becomes a condo complex.
And I got
to
buy my strawberries from Guatemala.
And I'm buying Guatemalan or Californian or wherever else in the world that quality strawberries are coming from, but they have to be shipped to me for over 3,000 miles instead of me picking them and using them the day I get them.
And the other thing is, as I alluded to before, you know, people, they say, you know, where do you get your ideas? Now, chefs go to each other's restaurants all the time. You know, but it's not like we copy each other, although sometimes people copy.
You want to be inspired, though. You can certainly be inspired by other people. I'm inspired by other people in this business every single day.
I mean, if Ella Fitzgerald did a Cole Porter tune and Billie Holiday did a Cole Porter tune, did she steal it from her? You know what I mean? It's like you don't reinvent food except for a couple of people like Ferran Adrià in Barcelona. But you look to other people for ideas and inspiration, and that's how we as a culture. I mean, American cuisine is one of the most interesting cuisines around. Because it's evolving. Hey, you're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:15. Hey, welcome back. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis. We are here today. We have a special guest, Paul Lang. His career has ranged from being a private chef for an Italian count and contessa to most recently a stint at one of our favorite restaurants in Manhattan, Babbo, that's Mario Batali's New York restaurant. His latest venture is to found a company called Akasa, which means at the house or at your house or at home. And Akasa is a private wine events company. Hi, Paul.
Hi, guys. How you
doing? Hey, Paul, how are you today?
I'm doing great, thank you.
What is a private wine events company?
Well, a private wine events company is, well, pretty much like it sounds. We go to people's homes, apartments or whatnot, and we host wine events, whether it's wine tastings, wine dinners, or even cooking classes that end up with drinking a lot of wine at the end of them.
So there's not a lot of spitting.
No, there's no spitting allowed, actually.
Excellent.
Because you're already home. There's nowhere to go.
Yeah, exactly. We cut down the driving. Only you have to drive home.
Exactly. Well, yeah.
Now, what? Tell me about a private wine event. Like, who calls you and what do they want you to do? I mean, is it just like a sit-down class tasting? Or, I mean, who are these people? And what do they want?
Well, I think the one thing that's really advantageous about what I do is that there's such a diversity of people that are interested in what I do in terms of there's a lot of people who either just want to learn strictly about wine. They want me to come in and talk to, 10 of their friends, let's say, about how to make wine, and we taste through a couple of different styles of winemaking, and we talk strictly about the wine. Then there's other people.
So you do just a little wine lecture for a group of and how small or large are those groups usually?
I'm actually making a wine dinner for two people next week, but I try and keep it to a four-person minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done seminars up to 200 people before, so it's a pretty large range.
That's a pretty big range.
Yeah, it's a pretty big range. So
how do they? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that the one thing that I try and stay away from, though, is lecturing. I think it's really important for people to talk about these things and for less important for them to sit and listen to me talk for 2 hours. I want to ask questions just as much as they want to ask questions, and I want to know about people's wine experiences, good or bad, and they often are great jumping-off points for a conversation. And I try and think of it more of a conversation than really a lecture, because I think that one of the things that's really intimidating to people about wine is that usually it's someone telling them what they should be mm-hmm. tasting or feeling.
Well, one of the
and
things,
I'm trying to get away from that.
One of the things that Francis and I talk about a lot here on the show is that it shouldn't, it's not about a lecture. It's not about a 100-point scale. It's not about what somebody else thinks about the wine. What you think about the wine is equally as important as what some expert tells you should think about the wine. It's more important, of course.
It's a very personal experience, and I try and sound as least amount pretentious as I can when I'm talking about these things, but it is. It's really something that everyone has had different experiences, and everyone tastes things differently and learns things differently, and I just think that the lack of a wine culture in the States, from growing up, no one rarely drinks wine from mm-hmm. when they're born, as opposed to in Europe, has, that adds fuel to the fire, and it makes people uncomfortable to talk about something that I think that they think they should know about, because everybody drinks wine now, and you should already have this lingo down and know what you're talking about, but there's no reason you should know those things. Just like, I go into some CEO's home, let's say, and we're talking about wine, and I don't know anything about his job, and I could sit there and ask him a million questions mm-hmm. about his job and what he does, and it's the same thing.
I think a lot of people let wine professionals intimidate them, and I'm really glad to hear you say that it's you try and make it conversational, you try and bring people into the conversation and have a conversation about what they like and dislike, because so many people, and unfortunately a lot of people in our business, are trying to show people how much they know by belittling how little the people know, and that's
exactly.
Not what this is
bullying
all about.
Bullying people, right.
Yeah,
right.
Now,
bullying people is a great way to say it.
Yeah, but, I mean, let's talk about how, now this is a new idea for a company. Basically, it's some of the stuff I read about you, they said rent a sommelier,
Right.
So you went out and you quit your job, and you started this company.
By the way, it was a pretty good job, too, you quit.
I know that. I've actually had two jobs that I've quit, and I've made very big life-changing decisions, and one of them worked out great, and one of them is working out great as we speak. The other one was, like I said, I was from Boston, living in Boston, and working at a great restaurant called Cafe Louis in Boston. It's in the Louis Boston building, and it was owned by the people who own Al Forno in Providence,
mm-hmm.
Joanne Killian and George German, and I worked with them for a long time in Boston, and I would travel to Italy whenever I could. I would go on my own time, save some money, take 5 days, take 2 weeks, whatever it was, and eventually said, I'm going to move there. Like everyone has always said, do this when you're young, blah, 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 and I said, I'm going to do it, and I quit my job. I started waiting tables for about 6 months somewhere else just to save a lot of money and mm-hmm. moved, and really sort of blindly moved. I had some good, okay connections, but you know, wasn't really sure where I was going, and it turned out to be the best year of my life, and it's helping me now in this next venture where I had this great job at Babbel for a couple of years and decided, you know, I'm going to try and do my own thing these days. So.
Well, I want to talk about where you moved to and that whole experience. So what did you do after you moved?
I went to a friend's house, actually, in the northwestern part of Italy in an area called, it's a town called Mondovì. And two friends of mine who are Italian who are from this area own a restaurant there. And I lived with them for a while, and it was helping them open the restaurant. It's literally two people operating this restaurant. It's a 24-seat restaurant.
Actually, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Paul Lang, who owns Acasa, which is a private wine events company. And we're talking with him about traveling in Italy and also this sort of new idea for a way that you can get a sommelier to come to your house and host a wine event or a wine dinner and talk about wine at home. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:25.
The place, Brooklyn, New York, post-World War II. An Italian-American woman named Catherine Lombardi cooks for her family. What's so special about that? Well, lots. Food was central back then. Good food handed down from the traditions of two countries. Food that filled the whole house with the sweet smells of garlic, tomato, and basil. No matter when you stopped by or who you were sure to be fed and fussed over. Catherine showed her love on the plate and out of the pot. Any who were lucky enough to receive it never forgot. This is Mark Pascal from the Restaurant Guys radio show and Stage Left. I've just opened Catherine Lombardi Restaurant in New Brunswick, and its mission, to live up to the standards set by Catherine Lombardi. So come by the bar, sit by the fire. Have some fresh mozzarella and antipasto. The matagut and tortelloni are amazing, and the veal chop will make you cry. Our wine list, of course, without parallel. We've got to live up to the standards set by Catherine Lombardi. You see, Catherine Lombardi was my grandmother. Come let me show you where I came from.
Catherine Lombardi Restaurant in New Brunswick, 732-296-9463 or CatherineLombardi.com. Hey, welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. This is Mark and Francis from Catherine Lombardi and Stage Left Restaurant in downtown New Brunswick. And our guest today is Paul Lang. Paul owns his own private wine events company. He has done a lot of things in the past in his career. Has taken him all over Italy and the United States. He was the private chef for a count and a contessa in Italy. He was most recently sommelier at Babbo, Mario Batali's restaurant in New York City. And he's left that to start this wacky company on his own. Before the break, Paul, we were talking about how you found yourself in Italy. How did you find yourself being the private chef for a count and a contessa in Italy? Aren't there Italians that can cook?
Yes, there are. Well, what happened was is I was planning on working there and sort of got a call almost right when I landed in Italy saying, listen, we need you to come earlier to this place called Capizzana. And Capizzana is a great winery and olive oil producer just west of Florence in an area called Carmignano. Mm-hmm. And they make great wine and olive oil.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, it's great. So I had been there before, actually, a few years earlier, traveling through Italy and stayed there, and so I knew the family sort of well, and so I went to live and work there and ended up sort of becoming the chef, actually, and it was one of the great experiences. What happened was their chef left and went to work in a restaurant in L.A. for about 6 or 8 months, which is kind of funny, and I'd come there, and I started working with the Count and Contessa, and that's what it is. You know, it's sort of an antiquated idea that usually over here we don't really think about, but that's what they are. They're royalty, and you have to call them Count and Contessa, and she is by far one of the great home cooks in all of Italy, and I worked with her and just ended up being the chef here and working, making lunch and dinner for the family and for guests, and taught wine classes at the estate and taught cooking classes at the estate and gave tours. And
so how does somebody convince you to leave? Okay, you're in Carmignano, having a great time, cooking for a Count and Contessa,
right. And
you decide to come back to the U.S.
I did decide. You know, as I would travel into Florence every day, I would go to Florence every day after work, and I would take the bus in, and along these bus rides, I had a lot of time to think. It was about 45 minutes, and all I kept thinking was I really want to go back and share what I've learned. I want to teach people and share this great...
So you're a chef for a Count and a Contessa in Capizzano, and you want to come back to the United States and get back in the restaurant industry. We're talking to a crazy man named Paul Lang. He owns a company called Acasa, and we're going to find out just how crazy he is and what happened with his new company when he came back to the United States and how you can get Paul Lang to come to your house and teach you about wine. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:30.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal here with Francis Schott. Together we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com, or you can download our podcast on iTunes.
Our guest today is Paul Lang. He owns a private wine company called Akasa. Akasa will put together private wine events for as few as four people. Paul will come to your house and either cook dinner and bring some wines and talk about wine, or he'll just come over and do a wine tasting. And that's a pretty interesting and new concept. Paul, how do people get in touch with your company?
Well, there's a couple of different ways. Online, obviously. The website is akasanyc.com. So akasanyc.com. Or they can call me at 646-851-8166.
And if you're too busy to write that down right now, we're going to put that link up on our website, Restaurant Guys Radio, later on. We'll tell you how to get through to Paul. So you were telling us before the break, you're in Italy. You wound up through a fortunate set of circumstances, having gone there with no particular plan. You're the private chef for a Count and a Contessa, and you're in one of the most beautiful parts of one of the most beautiful countries in the world, and you long for smog.
So. No, I don't long for smog. That's not true. But I did long to really. I was so excited about what I was experiencing that I wanted to share it. So, as I was saying, I would go to Florence every day, and I had this idea, literally called A Casa, in my head of this idea of coming back and bringing this idea into people's homes, because for me the idea of A Casa, you know, at home, is a feeling of comfort for a lot of people, and it's just like what we were talking about before. I try and make people feel as comfortable as possible about what we're talking about. And, it, you know, sometimes it's funny because it almost turns into like a therapy group when we're in going around in a circle and we're like, my name's John and my best wine experience. Everyone goes, hi, John. My best wine experience is, you know, this and that.
Do you at the end say, okay, well, the hour's up. We'll see you all next week.
Right, exactly.
So you come back to the United States, and what did you do to make this dream happen?
Well, I started working with some great people at Babbo. I started working with Mario Batali and Joe Bastianich and David Lynch. And
you're right. You started working with some great people.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. I've known those guys for a while. I'd met them at certain Italian wine fairs and whatnot, and just started working with them. And the opportunity of working at Babbo obviously puts you on a pretty big stage.
Yeah.
And you meet a lot of great people, and you're constantly learning. That's obviously one of the great things about the wine and food industry is, You're always learning. You're never finished. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You're
right.
Like, okay, I'm done. I've learned enough.
Right, right.
So you're always learning from different people coming in, and obviously there were a lot of chefs and famous people that would come in, so it was just a great atmosphere to be in. But again, I always had this little inkling inside of me saying, you know, I want to do this on my own. I know I can do this.
So what made you decide to finally make the break, and how'd you pull it off, and how are people knowing about you?
Well, I've decided to make the break sort of, you know, it just came to me. I just said, listen, this is the time. I started the company almost about 8 months ago, or almost a year now, and it's just been great. I mean, again, through the word of mouth of meeting lots of people and just trying to do as much of a grassroots campaign as I can, because I really am into the, you know, word of mouth thing, you know, tell your friends, you know, that sort of idea. And that's worked out great. It's just been really fun. And what I've done actually recently, I've been hosting wine dinners at my own apartment, and and having people come over, anybody, you know, friends of friends, posting it online if I can somewhere, and just having people come over to see what I do, just to go back out, and you know, you just exponentiate the factor of what people are talking about.
Now that's interesting. Now, when you do a whole wine dinner, let's say for a party of 10 or 12 or 15, do you bring everything with you? Do you bring plates and glassware and all that, those things?
I bring as much as we need to. You know, it all starts with, you know, someone contacts me and we talk about what kind of event they want, and I question them. I obviously say, well, what do you have at your apartment? Do you have enough plates for 10 people for dinner? If not, I can bring them. What kind of wine glasses do you have? I found a lot of people have great wine glasses and never use them at home. So we like to utilize people's collections of glasses at home.
Yeah, my friends smash my nice wine glasses.
My friends aren't allowed to touch mine. So who is hiring you mostly? Is it like middle class people that are hiring you as kind of a lark, or is it like wealthy people asking you to guide them through, you know, old vintages of Barolo?
Yeah, I think it's been everybody. To be honest with you, I've had everyone from the person who really knows nothing about wine to want me to come over and again give the 101. This is how wine is made. This is what you should look for. And you know, and we all talk about it, and it's fun too. you know, doing verticals of older vintages of wine. You know, again, like you were just saying, I really try and focus on Italy. That's where I've lived and spent most of the time. And the world of Italian wine is almost endless, and it's always changing. So it's for me, it's one of the most interesting subjects to talk about. So we try and stay in Italy, which is certainly enough to talk about. And I've done it all. It's been a great experience going into people's homes and seeing them be comfortable enough to talk about these different subjects.
Now, some of these events start very, very reasonably. For you to come into somebody's home for $75 a person and do a wine tasting, or $125 a person and actually cook for them and do a wine tasting altogether. Exactly. Do you do this by yourself, or do you bring a crew with you, depending on the size?
It depends on the size. You know, I have my fiance who's been great in helping me with these events. But a lot of the times it's just me. You know, if it's about eight people or so, let's say, eight people is just a great number, because you've got a great, you can have a diverse group, but still intimate enough that you can engage everybody. You
know, well, it sounds like people could have you come over to their house as long as they've got the space, and have an evening at home that's awesome without spending less than if they went out to dinner.
Exactly. And that's the idea with the price point is, again, those are starting prices, the $75 per person for a tasting, $125 per person for a dinner, and it's five courses we're talking about, too. We're talking
that's
about
awesome.
For a tasting. Yeah, for a tasting, five wines with some artisanal cheeses, and I make these great little wine biscuits, and that's that.
Paul?
And then for the dinner, it's five courses. Yeah, go ahead.
You need to raise your price.
But not before we book an event with you. Now, I have to say, one of the things that I've always found very interesting is we opened a wine shop years ago, and most of our experience is in the restaurant business. And I found it very interesting to look at the difference in dynamic, just working in a restaurant selling wine and talking to people and how you relate to people, to go to the retail environment. And we've done some catering, and that's even a different dynamic. Mm-hmm. You sound like you're doing a really intimate thing in someone's home. What's the dynamic like? What's the difference? How do you handle the transition from restaurant to private home with people you don't know?
Yeah, it's actually a very interesting topic because of, you know, I'm obviously very confident in what I do, and I go in and you know, I go in with the guns blazing, and we're ready to roll, and it's fun. And, you know, and again, I think people are again, in a much more relaxed environment. So they're more apt to be funny and social. But there is a line that you can't really cross, right? You know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, well, sit down, you know, after the wine tasting. You know, have you eaten? Like, have a seat, you know. So there is an interesting line there that it's sometimes hard not to cross, because the whole idea of these things is to have fun and to learn a little bit.
And it's to be social, and you're in somebody's home, so sometimes they treat you as if you are in their home.
Exactly. And I've been lucky, I guess, in the sense where all the customers I've had so far have been great. They've been really nice.
Yeah, there's something coming in your future. You're going to get to, like, because I'm thinking of, like, being in somebody's home and they're just dead, you know, because I've done wine lectures. You know, we do a lot of wine classes and the like, and sometimes you just get a class and, you know, you want to say, is the mic on? Are you people here? Is anyone awake out there?
Right. But again, those are the types of classes that, you know, there's usually, let's say, more than eight people at.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get a large group of people, like I've done corporate events for, you know, law firms or whatever, and half the people don't even want to be there. You know,
that's
people who don't care about wine, that's fine with me. You
know? Exactly what I was just about to say. You know, Francis and I do some of these events, but usually they're larger events. They're for 50, 100, 200 people. You're giving a wine lecture to some corporation, and it can't be dry, but B, you have to realize that half the people don't want to don't necessarily want to be there.
Right. Well, what's great about Akaza is that people are, you know, coming to the event knowing what they're getting, and they're, you know, they're excited. It's like a planned event. You know, 2 weeks from now, we're having this guy come over. He's going to cook a great dinner. We're going to talk about wine, and people are excited to be there.
Yeah, you know,
but if he didn't want to be there, they wouldn't go. So.
It's funny because, you know, I realized what I was thinking of when I was thinking back to how you can be in an uncomfortable situation. I went to a murder mystery dinner at someone's house one night, and nobody was into it. It was the most painful 3 hours I think I've ever spent anywhere, you know, because you couldn't even crawl away or in somebody's house.
Right.
Well, I'm glad you have had no experiences like that just yet. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back talking with Paul Lang, who owns Akaza, a private wine events company, and about his sort of new model for doing business and how to bring private wine into people's homes. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:45. Hi. This is Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants, and also of The Restaurant Guys radio show. You know, one of the best things about the restaurant business is the creative side of it. Coming up with big ideas and then turning those concepts into reality is awesome. It's what I love most about what I do. But it can't stop there. If you can't communicate exactly what it is you're doing, then you'll find yourself standing alone in your dining room, just you and your big ideas. The Mardini Group can help you get your ideas across to others. The Mardini Group is a boutique graphic design firm, and they do extraordinary work. We use them, and as you know, we only use the best. Whether it's menu design, product packaging, a corporate report, promo material, a homepage, or an awesome logo for a brand new project like Catherine Lombardi, we turn to the Mardini Group. Some small business owners don't realize how important it is to have a strong visual identity. Without it, you come across as less than professional. That can cost you trust, and that lowers your bottom line. First impressions count for a lot, and that's why you need the Mardini Group. Go to RestaurantGuysRadio.com and click on the Mardini Group link, or call them at 718-694-9944. The Mardini Group for graphic design, 718-694-9944.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hey, you're back with the Restaurant Guys. Mark and Francis from Catherine Lombardi and Stage Left Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick, New Jersey. Our guest today is Paul Lang. Paul has worked as the private chef for Accountant of Contessa in Italy. He's worked as a sommelier on the floor of Babbo, Mario Batali's restaurant in Manhattan, one of our favorite places. And he's now got his own company called Akaza. Akaza is a private wine events company that for as few as four people and pretty reasonably priced, he'll come to your house and either cook a wine dinner in your house or put a wine tasting together in your house. This is kind of a new and interesting business model, and so we brought him here to talk about that today.
So Paul, earlier in the show you were talking about the fact that your ideal parties are 8 or 10 or 12 people, and that's the kind of size that you like to see. One of the things that I love about that idea is, well, then you can open and taste a lot of different wines because at let's say 12 people, that's about, you know, a little over 2 ounces of each wine to try, and it seems that you can set up a lot of different wines in doing that. Is that the goal?
Definitely. I mean, the idea for the tastings more so than the dinners, because the dinners are all about pairing the food and the wine. But for the tastings, you know, there are sort of many, many different themes we can cover. You know, modern versus traditional. You know, southern Italy versus northern Italy, or even, you know, southern France versus southern Italy. And it's great. You can taste a bunch of different. Again, we taste 5 different wines in the tasting. So a lot of people like to taste, you know, a wacky white just to start off, a wine they've never heard of before. And then we do, you know, 4 reds, and we'll taste, again, like an old world versus new world, a, you know, best bang for your buck type deal. You know, there's so many different themes that we do.
Do you find, what are people looking for out there? I mean, what's sort of hot that people want to know about? Do people hire you because they want to know about Brunello and Barolo and Chianti?
They want to learn more about Italian wine in general. I think that people are becoming more and more savvy every day, and I've seen that in all the restaurants I've worked in for the 15 years that, you know, people in America especially are learning more about wine, and they want to learn more about wine around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So usually it's more like we want to learn about new grapes or interesting wines, or, you know, it's sort of indicative of, like, you know, we just want to learn quickly, like things are happening very quickly these days. So it's like, okay, I know about Barolo, next.
Yeah.
You know, well,
right.
Really, there's a world to discover in Barolo, but still, you know.
Oh, you do know about Barolo, do
right,
you?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
so does Akaza only work out of New York City, or do you guys travel at all?
Well, there's certainly enough people in New York City to keep us busy, but we travel a lot. We travel to Boston. I'm doing some events in Philadelphia next month. I have a bunch of events coming up, actually, in you guys' area in Central Jersey over the next month and two. So out in Long Island, the Hamptons. So we're doing a lot of traveling these days.
Do you find that people in the city have a different sort of in New York City have a different sort of take on wine than people out in the burbs?
I don't think that they do, really. I think that in restaurants they do, maybe, in terms of what they'll pay for a bottle of wine. But other than that, people are people everywhere, and they just want to learn about something they don't know about.
What do you do when somebody wants to do a wine tasting, they want to pour their own wines, and you hate them? Not the people, the wines.
Right. Well, that's a good question. I mean, I try and find the good in everything I do, you know, and I just try and talk about what I can when it comes to those wines. I mean, I've where people have had these great sellers, And, you know, we pulled out some pretty impressive wines. And for me, they're always interesting to try regardless. I mean, I'm never going to not try a wine just because I have some preconceived notion about it. It's always something exciting to try.
Have you had any bad experiences where people haven't stored their wine well or issues like that?
No, actually, I haven't. That's which is odd because that happens a lot, especially in the city. It's very hard to store wine correctly.
So. Mm-hmm.
Well, I would imagine if somebody's hiring you, it's probably somebody who does care a lot about wine, especially at this point where people might not have heard about you as easily as now.
Hey, I got something I pulled off of Mario's website, Mario Batali's website. Here's a quote about you. He says, "Wine guys that are intelligent and passionate are easy to come by, but wine guys that are smart and fun are a rare breed. Meet Paul Lang, ex-cork dork from Babbo." That's an endorsement, sort of in a nice way. What was it like working in Mario's place? I mean, that's such a chef-driven, food-centric restaurant. It's also got a great wine list, but it's a high-profile, high-personality place. What's that like?
Yeah, that's what it is. It's high-profile, and you're on stage every night, and there's always action. You know, there's always something going on. So it does have an unbelievable wine list. There's about 1,100 bottles, or you know, 1,000 to 1,100 different bottles in that list, and that's what's great about a list like that is when someone comes in, it's basically like, what do you want?
Yeah, exactly.
We got it. You know, from the $30 bottle of Pinot Grigio to the $2,000 bottle of Sassicaia. You know.
Well, I'll tell you that I've been into Babbo a lot of times, and you guys steered us towards a very delicious, very inexpensive Treminer a couple times when we were there that knocked my socks off. And Babbo has always been, since its opening, one of my favorite restaurants and one of my favorite places to drink wine.
We would start with there's a $25 bottle of Treminer on that list for a long time that we would start every meal with. And, you know, we go from $25 and the sommelier, if they didn't know us, would always look a little disappointed. And then we'd, you know, order expensive wine with dinner and really turn things around. Hey, Paul.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say thanks for being on the show. If people want to get in touch with you, they can go to the website again is acasanyc.com.
Exactly.
And you can link to that through our website, and I think it'd be an interesting thing if you wanted to bring Paul into your house to do a private event with you and your friends. Sounds like a great kind of a hoot.
Well, thank you guys.
Thanks
much.
For taking the time, man.
Thanks for being with us today, Paul.
Okay. Nice chatting with you guys.
It was great talking to you, Mark. I think that was pretty interesting. Paul Lang is a pretty cool dude, but I don't think I'm ever going to hire him.
Why is that?
Because I can host my own wine event. I'm a guy. What do I need him for? But you guys out there can't hire me. I'm a lot more expensive than he is. So I would go to his site and check him out. I think that's great, bringing wine to people's houses.
What I really liked about one of the things that he talked about, A, is not being pretentious about it, that involving people in the conversation, not just a lecture.
And we'll talk about B after the break. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:55. You're back with The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis, and I cut Mark off.
Boy, did you.
Time was coming out. Well, you know, it's radio. You got to go when you got to go. And Mark said there were two things you liked about him. A, was he was unpretentious.
Well, A, I really liked that he involved people in the conversation. And B, what I was going to say. Do you have anything to cut me off again? You going to cut me off again?
We got 2.5 minutes.
Right.
Go ahead.
Okay. And B, was that he does these smaller events. And frankly, it's very difficult to get people to come into your house to do a party of 8 or 10 or 12. Because unless you're a fairly small company and unless you're, I don't want to say a one-man operation, but in he says he only comes in with one or two people.
And unless you're willing to give me $5,000 because that's what I cost.
But no, but seriously, unless you're going to come in with a large organization, most people aren't going to do those kinds of smaller events. And they become cost prohibitive.
I think what he's doing is super because frankly it sounds like I'm not going to hire him because I'm him. But my friends love coming over to my house and you know even if they're not necessarily wine geeks they don't know a lot and it sort of puts a structure together. I know a lot of people get together and they want to everybody brings a bottle but then nobody knows what they're talking about.
One of the things that we barely touched on here. Forget the wine tasting. Forget the whole wine interaction of the dinner and the wine dinner. This guy's going to come into your house and cook dinner for you.
Yeah.
I mean, he's coming to your home, and he's going to cook dinner for you. And if you don't have enough plates, he's going to bring plates. And obviously, he's going to
charge
them
and
charge you for that. But he's going to bring glassware. He's going to cater an event in your home for six people for under $1,000.
Well,
I just think that's not what most quality corporations are doing.
But I also think I love the idea that in your house, and this guy we're talking about, Paul Lang, who owns a company called Akasa, and you can link to their website from ours, and it's akasanyc.com, who will come and do a wine tasting, and not just in New York City. So look, if you're looking for something to do next Thursday night to get mm-hmm. together with your friends and have a hoot, you know, invite me over for free and open some really good wines. Pay yep. me a lot of money or call this yep. guy.
Yeah, I like agree. It.
And Babbo, the restaurant that we were talking about where he works in New York City, literally, since it's opened, has been one of our favorite restaurants. I ate there last week. I ate there 10 times.
And one of the reasons has always been the sommeliers. I mean, yeah. that $25 Chimino that we were talking about earlier was recommended to us by the sommeliers.
You know, but there's another good restaurant in downtown Brunswick Road. We're going to go for lunch right now. Let's go to our own and make something in the kitchen. I'm really hungry. I hope you've enjoyed the hour listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 12 noon.